Okay. First of all, thank you so much for hosting. In lieu of being at the Goodmans to be here, this is the second time, so thank you so much. So we're on to a new malacha, which is a big deal because we're working our way through the malachos. This is one of the malachos that are going to take us a little bit of time. I estimate, and my estimations have been pretty good so far, so I have a pretty good track record. Probably about four to five shiurim, depending on how in-depth we get into certain examples. You know, until now, we were doing kotzer, and we were going through the process of essentially making bread, sidur de pas, to be able to understand the malachos and the nature of Shabbos. So now we're finally up to dush, which, for lack of better terms, and we'll work with it, and we'll define it, but it could be, defined as extraction or classically understood threshing, right? Essentially, dush means to thresh. And we'll understand exactly what that means. We'll understand extraction. We'll try to define it. So let's say 4 to 5 shiurim. And really, we're going to also have to understand that if the idea of dush, if the idea of threshing is once I've cut this down, once I've cut down my wheat stalks, and once, as we talked last week, I've gathered them up into a pile. So at that point, I have to get them out of their outer shells, right? I have to get the seeds. I have to get the wheat out of the outer shells. So essentially, the threshing, the beating of them, is the separation or the extraction of the wheat kernels from the shells. And really simply,
you first have to separate the wheat from the stalk.
Right. I believe that's part of the whole process, the wheat from the stalk and from the outer shells. Yes. So the real question that we're also going to have to ask and understand is, what's the difference between dush, the threshing, the extraction from the stalk and from the outer shell? What's the difference between that and borer, separation, right? Because borer is the idea of also, if I can imagine something in a shell, we often think of the idea of separating something from its shell, right? Removing the klipa, removing the shell. So what's the difference between threshing versus separation, dush and borer, right? What's the practical halakhic difference? There clearly is one. They're two different malachos. And how exactly do we understand that? And what are the halakhos that come from that? So that's really going to be something we're going to understand through defining dush. So this first year, in Eretz Hashem, we're going to define dush. We're going to define what it means to extract, what it means to thresh. Through that, we'll be able to understand a few practical halakhos that come to the kitchen or come to the table, like eating grapes or cracking open nuts on Shabbos. After that, we'll talk about the idea of essentially nursing, or when it comes to milking cows on Shabbos. There was a big tumult in Eretz Yisrael years and years ago. So we'll talk about that. The third shiur, we'll talk about schita, which is the squeezing of fruits to get fruit juice and the like. And then the fourth one, we'll take a lot of it and we'll apply it to, let's say, the schita of squeezing liquids out of cloths, out of like baby wipes, hair, things like that, the extensions, the derabanans, and the like. So that's just an overview of how we're going to deal with dush. So before we get into the actual, you know, idea and the definition of dush, let's see a few questions. So number one, for dessert, we often serve unshelled peanuts and sunflower seeds. I realize that this could pose an issue of dush. So do I need to purchase already shelled nuts and sunflower seeds to serve on Shabbos? Right? I don't know how many people have nuts or peanuts for dessert, particularly in their shells. But it's definitely common to have sunflower seeds, right? A very, you know, very Israeli thing. I'll admit I'm not that Israeli, but there are many Friday nights where the sunflower seeds come out. So is that a problem of dush? I'm extracting something. I'm taking something out from its shell. Is that okay on Shabbos?
Pistachios, it's common.
Oh, that's a great example. Yes, pistachios. Is that okay? I'm extracting, I'm taking out of its outer shell seemingly, right? So am I allowed to open up pistachios on Shabbos, or I can only have already shelled pistachios?
Well, I'm really going to learn something because I don't know, but we've talked before about the idea of something being removed from, distant from. So these are not peanuts that are being taken out of the ground or sunflower seeds that are being taken off of a plant. So because of the distance,
okay,
from the plant to the, I'm going to say it's okay.
Okay. First of all, the thought process is fantastic. What you're actually hitting on is a very important nekuda, is a very important point, which in Yerzeh Hashem we will get back to. It is not a perfect, meaning the distance doesn't always matter. Doesn't always matter. But in this case, it might. And that a fantastic point. Point well taken. And Ritz Hashem, we'll circle back to that. Fantastic. Okay, so that's one point, one question. Now, a very similar type of question, perhaps a little bit different.
Well,
yes.
Getting back to pistachios.
Okay.
At least the ones that I buy.
Yeah.
They're already partially open.
Yes. Right. Correct.
So.
Would you call the extraction or not?
Just.
Right.
I would say not. But.
Well, am I able to eat it in its current state?
No.
Right, so maybe that should matter. If I can't eat it and I'm therefore pulling it out and allowing it to now be eaten, would that matter? Again, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just trying to, again, the whole point is here to try to understand the nature of the malacha, right?
Mm-hmm.
So would it matter if it's accessible or not? But, you know, this just makes it more accessible, right? Okay, good.
And I would wonder what the difference is between these kinds of husks and, for example, eating nectarines, tangerines, clementines, or bananas.
Right. Okay, good. Yes, very, very good point. Or perhaps grapes, taking off grapes from the stem. But what you're talking about is you're not shelling the banana, but you're peeling the banana. What's the difference? Yes. Point very well taken. Yes.
On your tomatoes, isn't there a thing you can take the good from the bad?
When it comes to borer, when it comes to separation, yes, good from the bad. Dush is not borer, so we're going to have to understand what's the difference between them and do they have some of the same rules? Yes, very okay. So number two, the second question is, we usually peel and crush garlic cloves before Shabbos, but we completely forgot to do it this week. Can we peel and cut the garlic on Shabbos for a salad dressing? Right, peeling garlic, right? We'll ignore the crushing. Crushing garlic is a separate issue. No one cannot crush garlic on Shabbos, which is why I wrote, can we peel and cut the garlic? That being said, and also you can't cut it very fine. Okay, this question is not midyuk in the sense that it's often the questions that either we have here or ones that I was posed or ones that I am now posing. It happens to be I wrote this one, and usually I try to avoid other malachos that we haven't touched on. So let's just ignore all the grinding and the cutting down, the tochin issues. And let's just talk about the main idea here, which is, can I peel the garlic on Shabbos? Now, yes?
I thought for immediate use, yes.
So that's the question, for immediate use. So you keep going back into the world of borer, right, of separation. Is this borer of separation, in which case it has all those rules and heterium and allowances, or is it in the world of dush, which is the threshing, and does threshing have those allowances? Right. So that's the question we have to keep coming back to. What is the difference between separation and dush? Right? Okay. So those are the questions.
I mean, does dush mean threshing? Is that what it is?
It's a great question. That's what we have to figure out.
Because if you break open your peanut or you peel your garlic clove.
Right. Would one call that threshing? So
I wouldn't call it
right. Threshing. Well, so I guess the English translation perhaps is not so exact. One would perhaps call extraction, but. Let's see the sources. Let's see how the early Rishonim, the commentaries, define the malacha, and then we'll be able to perhaps give a better English term, and certainly we'll be able to understand the nature of the malacha better. So let's start with the Gemara Shabbos, right? You always have to start with the Gemara. So the Gemara, well, actually, let me take that back. Really, usually start with the Pesukim, but we got the Pesukim. Lei sasu ko malacha, don't do any work on Shabbos. Okay, good, we covered it. Now to the Gemara, source one. The Gemara says, v'hadosh, and one who... Well, I guess we'll call it threshes. That would be one of the primary 39 malachos, right? The Av malacha, the primary malacha done in the Mishkan. So Tana Hadash Vamenafet Kulan Malacha Achas Hain. So we learned that anyone who threshes, who you beat the flax or the cotton plant or the cotton seeds, all different types in which to extract the seeds, right? There are different verbs used for different types of extraction or different types of threshing, but ultimately all coming down to the same purpose and the same function, which is to remove the seed from the outer stalk or from the stalk or the outer husk, right? So ultimately all of those fall into this world of threshing, of dush. So the Av Malacha, the basic understanding is that you'd have the wheat and you have to beat it, right, to be able to get it off the stalk, out of the outer husk. And again, that's not dealing with the chaff or the chaff, that is, and all the other little pieces still stuck on it. But the general extraction happens at this stage, right? After it's been cut down, after it's been gathered. So that would be what I would call threshing or extraction. But what exactly, meaning how does that carry over to other things like what you were saying? And you know, Jordan and Richard, both you raised, meaning how does that carry over, well, let's say to a banana? And would I really call it threshing when I open up a peanut, right? How does that carry over? So there's a second Gemara.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll learn the Gemara and then we'll come back to a few questions. There's a second Gemara that says there's essentially a tolda, which again, when we talk about toldas of the Av, it means that there is the prototype of the malacha of how it was done in the Mishkan, and then there are things either similar in the way it was done or similar in the purpose of how it was done that is also on the Deraisa level. So
what does tolda mean, and is that related to the Parsha?
Tolda, yeah, it does relate, meaning tolda is the outgrowth, the that which is
derived,
thank you, a derivation, and toldos is the derivations or the generations that follow, right?
Okay.
So it directly comes from and relates to the first, the Av Malacha, but it's also Deoraisa, right? It's just a derivation. So the Gemara in Shabbos, it says as follows in source 2. Amar of Papa, Haiman Deshada Pisa Lidikla, V'asar Tmari Chayiv Shtayim. So if someone takes a piece of dirt or a stone or whatever it is and throws it up at the palm tree, thereby severing the dates and they fall down. So Chayiv Shtayim, you're actually liable for two actions on Shabbos. Achas Mishum Tolesh, one because Tolesh, which was the idea of removing something from its life source, we talked about 2 weeks ago. V'achas Mishum Mafarik, and one because of extraction. And extraction is a tolda, is a derivation of dash, of threshing. Why? Because the whole purpose is to extract something from its outer shell, or to extract something from the stock, in this case, extracting the date from its cluster or from the tree. So that's Rav Ashi Amar, Chayiv Shtayim, Achas Mishum, V'Achas Mishum Mefarik. Rav Ashi Amar, Ein Derech Tlisha V'Kach, V'Ein Derech Prika V'Kach. Rav Ashi argues and says, no, that's not true, because these are not the way in which one extracts. These are not the way in which one cuts something from a life source. But leaving that part of it aside about Ein Derech, this is not the normal way, the Gemara is clearly demonstrating that when you remove something, when you extract something from its cluster, from its husk or the like, so although you're not beating it, although you're not threshing it like one would do a wheat stalk or flax, ultimately, the removal of it is a derivation of dash, of threshing, right? And what I would call extraction. Because essentially, you're getting at something that is within inside the husk or the cover and the like. Okay? So, fine. That would be, until now, how we would define the basic malacha. Now, the Rishonim, the commentaries on the Gemara, have a little bit of a field day with this. What exactly is going on here? What exactly happens when you throw that rock at the tree and the dates fall down? What extraction just happened? I understand there's been a cutting off from the source. You knocked it off, you cut it off from the tree, so it's been cut from its life source. But what extraction just happened here, right? What's the dash? So Rashi in source 3 tells us, Mifarik, the idea of extraction, which is a tolda, a derivation, an outgrowth of dash, Tolda de dash, it's a derivation of dash. Shemefarek tevua mishibaleha, lashon porik minachamor. Because the idea of extracting the produce from its husk, that is very similar to the idea of unloading something from an animal. The imagery of lifrok behema memasa, meaning to unload something from that which is on. That this too, you're extracting, you're removing the date from its clusters. Rashi essentially depicts this imagery of you're unloading the fruit from that which is connected to. So imagine a branch falls down. So and it has a whole cluster of grapes. So to remove the grapes from the cluster, you're unloading the grapes from, not from their life source, because it's already been removed from the life source, but you're unloading it from its grouping or from the husk. So if you take the dates off of that, you're unloading. And that's essentially to be porek. Mifarek is the idea of extraction. That's how we were translating it. But porek means to be porek ol, to throw off the load, to remove the load of the branch. Right? You're doing a nice favor to the tree or the branch. You're unloading all the fruits. So that's how Rashi would translate it. You're unloading. And so when I threw the rock at the dates and they all fall down, so not only did I cut them off from the life source, but I got some dates off from, you know, the whole burden. So that's how Rashi understands it, which is interesting because what that would then mean is I have this concept of not really removing something from out of a husk, but just unloading it off of its grouping, unloading it off of its vine, right? That would be a very interesting idea because until now I've thought of beating it out of its husk or its cover, right? Trying to get to something within. That's not how Rashi seems to define it here. Okay, so that's Rashi, which is interesting. Now, it happens to be Rashi in source 4 tells us that it also has to be that you're taking it, that it's something that has already been cut off from its source, because if you're taking it from the source, well, that's just kosher, right? I mean, that's just cutting off something from its life. So that's Rashi. Now, Tosfos does not like this. Tosfos looks at that and says, unloading a branch? Meaning unloading? What does that have to do? Okay, you could say you're unloading the kernels of wheat from their wheat stalk, I suppose. But, you know, Tosfos basically saying, I wouldn't have used the imagery of unloading the fruit from the branch. So instead, Tosfos has a fascinating approach. Tosfos says, and before that, by the way, the reason why Rashi probably says this is because if the example of throwing the rock at the dates and they fall down, they're calling that Dush, meaning they're calling that mafarik, extraction. Well, the dates have a husk.
Why is that any different, throwing the rock, any different from kotzer?
Well, because he's saying kotzer happens, and then there's two malachos happening. Yes, kotzer, because you threw it and it cut it off from its life source. But then you also, by doing so, some dates came off. Or you're getting the dates, you're unloading this.
You don't necessarily have to peel dates.
Correct. So that's why Rashi, I think, is saying you have to understand the idea of mafarik, of extraction, differently, because you don't really peel dates. So whoever, if you're calling this dush, but you're not peeling anything, so I have to redefine the whole malacha, says Rashi. I have to redefine it as unloading, because whoever thought you were peeling to get to dates. That's why I think that's why Rashi understands it as he does. It's just an interesting imagery, but you can understand the logic. Well, if the Gemara is telling me this is Mefarik, this is Dush, this is the idea of extraction, well, huh? How does that work? And so Rashi gives a thought. Tosfos says, no, what are you talking about? The idea of Dush, the idea of Mefarik extraction is when you remove an outer shell, an outer husk to get to something within. You're extracting, you're pulling something out, a kernel from the wheat, right? Or the wheat from the stalk or from the outer shell. And that is what I would define as dush, right? Just like we find by wheat. So Tosfos sticks to really the classic understanding, right? Because if I'm talking about extraction, I'm pulling something out from something else. Yeah. The hard thing about Tosfos is, well, whoever heard of husks or anything like that around dates? So that's the question on Tosfos, meaning how did he understand that whole Gemara about throwing the rock and they fall down? Well, how's that mafarik? How's that dush? How's that extraction if dates don't have a husk? Okay, no, that's the question on Tosfos. So essentially what we have right now is we have two different ways to understand it. We have Rashi, which is the idea of unloading the branch or unloading the fruits, and Tosfos, which is the idea of more classically extracting it from its shell. Okay, now why does any of this matter? Well, imagine grapes. Grapes are in their cluster, and I start taking grapes out of the cluster. It's off the tree. So is that okay? Right? Grapes come to the table, or they're in the kitchen. I'm getting it ready to bring it to the table, and I start taking grapes off or pieces of the eshkol, of the whole cluster off. Well, according to Tosfos, that doesn't really sound like extraction. I'm not removing anything from, you know, trying to get to something beneath. According to Rashi, well, I'm kind of unloading the rest of the cluster, right? So that's where it gets a little sticky. Okay, good. So that's just, again, the two opinions, and we're going to see how this matters in halacha. Okay, so clear so far? I mean, those are the two different ways to understand the idea of extraction. Yes?
The small soda bottles that come with the plastic thing connecting them.
Right.
that would sound like it would be extraction, because you need to remove that in order to get at the soda.
So I left out one important Gemara. And that is, there is a discussion. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's actually the last source. I was going to leave off as a big question. But okay, the last Gemara does tell us. We won't read it inside now. Maybe if we get to that to the end, I'll leave off with a big question that, you know, then you'll be dying to know. But the last Gemara does have a discussion. Is dush limited to that which grows from the ground? Right? Until now, we've seen that all these malachos that we've been talking about relate to something that grows from the ground. Right? Because that's how it was in the Mishkan, and that's the nature of what we're talking about. The malacha is productivity from the ground, cutting it from the ground, severing its life source, gathering things that grew from the ground. So according to that, if we understand dush follows in that same lineup, because we're talking about things that grow from the ground, gathering them, cutting them, finally extracting them, so then that would be the answer to your question. No, that's not extraction. That's another discussion maybe of makom patish, the final touches, leaving all that aside. But it's a great point. Do we treat dush like all the other previous malachos, that's limited to things that grow from the ground? That's a big question. I'll say it right now. One of the examples of dush that I brought up was the idea of milking cows, right? One of the things that is forbidden on Shabbos is to milk a cow, because it's the idea of extraction, of getting the milk from the cow. Now, last I checked, cows did not grow from the ground. So how in the world could anyone understand milking a cow is a problem of extraction, of dush, if we hold that dush, extraction, threshing, is limited to that which grows from the ground? Right? That's the big question. That'll be next week. But going back to this, yes.
I'm just sitting here. How about, since we're talking about milk, how about eggs?
Eggs. Well, what's the extraction?
Let's say, okay, you boiled an egg. It's now a hard boiled egg.
Oh, and taking off the shell.
You're taking off the shell.
Oh, good, good. We'll get to that. It's very on point. It's a very good question. We'll get to that at the end when we circle back to after we understand the difference between boreh and dush, right? The difference between separation versus extraction. So let's understand that, and then we'll come to your question.
I mean, it seems to me, listening to this, that dush should be something involving processing, as opposed to just, you know, as I said, you know, cracking open a nut or something like that.
You are spot on. Yeah, processing versus just eating, so to say. What's involved in the eating, mode? Fantastic. Yes, we will get to that. That is what the Egg Letal says. And okay, good, very fantastic. And to be honest, this is a little bit of what you suggested before, right? Meaning, how far removed is it from the field? So, in other words, is it part of the field process, or is it part of a later process, the eating process? I mean, that's what Richard is a little bit suggesting here. Okay, we're going to get to that. Let us, before we get to that, because that will help answer much of what you just said, basically answers all the questions that we started off with, and your question about the eggs. But before we do that, let's go back. So we understand the idea of extraction of dush, of threshing, could be understood as unloading the fruit or really extracting something from its husk or from its shell. Okay. Now, how's that different than boreh? How's that different than separation? Separating. And separating boreh, as we'll learn in a few weeks, has a number of allowances to it. That it's okay if it's for food right now, that you do it by hand and you take the good from the bad. And we'll get into all of those details. But that seemingly or might not apply to dush. So what's the difference between the two? So Rabbeinu Chananel tells us that the difference is, in source 6, on the second side, hadash hu amefarek hapsolus hamechuberes ba'ochel, that dush, extraction, is the removal of the bad that is connected to the food. It is necessarily the husk that's surrounding it and connected it. Boreh often manifests itself that it doesn't need to be that it's connected, that it's surrounding. You could just have two things mixed together, silverware. Last I checked, silverware are not minuvekas, are not stuck to each other, are not growing together. They're just in a big mix. So you could have boreh separation by things that are not connected per se. Dush necessarily is talking about something that's connected, that's has a husk or a shell, and you're extracting it from within that, right? That would be one way to say it. The other way to say it is you really only have dash by one product, meaning by the nut in its shell, or by the corn in its husk, or by the by the wheat kernels in the wheat, right? But borer you could have by multiple types of products together, right? Okay.
But we're not allowed to on Shabbos sort the silverware.
Correct.
Which one does that violate?
Borer, because dash, the definition of dash of extraction is of one item that essentially has a shell around it, has something blocking it, right? Borer separation could happen by anything and everything that's mixed together, obviously with limitations. But the nature of dash and extraction is that which it grows in. Am I extracting it and accessing that which is inside? Yes.
Does dash also apply or potentially apply to something like peeling an orange?
Good.
Extracting an orange or an avocado.
Right. So once we're saying that dash is different than borer, because borer is the idea of separating things, and it doesn't necessarily mean, like dash necessarily means, that it's one item and you're trying to access the fruit inside. So once we say that, it's a great question. Well, what about any fruit that I'm trying to access the inside of the fruit? So peeling the eggs, peeling the oranges, opening up the banana. So all of this, forget borer, it should be a problem of dash. Yes, that's a great question. So why is any of that okay on Shabbos? To be able to access the fruit inside. Every time I want to access the fruit inside, or the food inside of its shell, of its husk, it should be dash, right? In which case, there goes my snack. So how do we understand that? So this comes back to Richard's fantastic chiluk. This is exactly on point. Says the Egle Tal, the Sukkot Shavar. The concept is as follows in source 7. That umavur midivrayim, we can understand based on the commentaries he brought, the kevan shirotza la'ochla la'altar, lo chashav dash. When someone wishes to eat something now, it's not dash. If I want to eat my banana now, it's not dash. If I want to eat a food or something now, it's not considered dash. And essentially, he says, I'll continue reading inside, b'shor vitim v'chein b'klipel yona shal agozim, d'chashiv dash af le'echol altar. Sarek lomer t'shayni haka mishum shidarku l'kalfo b'shas achila. So there's two different types of food and two different types of times. Let's start with times. Let's start with the whole picture. Dash is a process, is part of the process of the wheat, of extracting the wheat kernels, is part of a process that happens essentially in the field as you're bringing it inside. It's part of an entire process that is getting food ready. It is not part of the eating process, right? Mm-hmm. When something is in the home, when something comes to the table, that's not the world of dash. Dash is this world of, as you said, part of the process, part of processing. It's like the processing plant, right? Dash is part of that earlier work. When I have something that I'm sitting at and about to eat at the table, that's not part of the processing part of the process, very redundant, but it's just eating. It's part of an eating process. Now, that works, that's the general thought process, but now we have to get a little bit more detailed, and it depends on the food. Meaning, if I have banana, the nature of a banana is not to peel it in the processing part in the factory, right? The nature of a banana is to peel it right before I eat it. Versus, there are some things like wheat that you don't peel it at the table before you eat it. The time that it's peeled is, well, in the field, or the time that it's threshed is earlier, right? So anything that the nature of this type of fruit or this type of food is threshed or is extracted earlier in the process and not something you do at the table, so that's dash. That's part of that earlier process, part of the malacha process. But if it's something that the very nature of the fruit or the food happens at the table, well, dash threshing doesn't really happen at the table, right? So an orange, a banana, or even these types of sunflower seeds, all of this happens part of the eating process. And as we'll learn later, when it comes to borer, when something's part of the eating process, certainly if the fruit itself is not something that is threshed in an earlier point, it's threshed, or so to say, it's extracted now, so that's not part of a malacha. Okay? Does that make sense? Is that clear?
Let me ask you this. It just popped into mind. if I take a piece of sweet corn,
yes,
and I start chomping down on it,
okay,
that would be all right. But what if, in order to make it easier for a kid to eat it, I took a knife and started cutting the kernels off?
So you're right. So you're saying, where do we draw the line between what's part in a process, a part of the processing mode versus eating? Because we find many a times sweet corn is processed by cutting it and removing it. I think the whole, we would look at this entire thing as already have been threshed or extracted, because we're not talking about extracting the kernels from the cob. The extraction point is the cob and the kernels from the husk, right? So that's how I would look at it. Now, it's interesting.
Well, going back to that, let's say I have the ear of corn with the leaves on it,
and right,
I cooked it, as some people do, with the leaves on it.
So then can you husk that?
Can I remove the leaves from the
on Shabbos? Can I basically take off the husk on Shabbos? So it might pose would it pose a borer problem? Seemingly not. We'll get to borer when we talk about, but would it be dush? Presumably not. Anything I would venture to say, anything that is normal to be removed as part of the eating process, as opposed to the earlier process of the field or the processing plant, anything that happens normally at the table or at the kitchen right before eating, I would say is not dush, right? That it's not a malacha. Remember, malacha is this idea of something very, very creative, very effective, very, not positive, but very creative. And the whole dush, the whole processing part, is this creative malacha that's essentially part of this process to making bread, right? As soon as it comes to the table and it's not part of that earlier process, it's not as creative anymore. It's just, I'm just eating. I don't call that malacha. I call that a process of eating, right? So anything that would be normal to do before eating, I would say is outside of the world of that malacha, right? So husking the corn, opening up the banana peel, anything like that.
I mean, actually, if you think about the processing process.
Right, I know, better term.
It is actually one of destruction, not of creation, because what you're doing is you're taking this stock.
Right. When I say creation, I mean creative in that it might be destructive by its nature, but ultimately is part of a larger process leading to, in this sense, or as part of the prototype, bread. It's what the Torah would call a creative act, an effective act, something that is essentially getting us somewhere. So, you know, if there are better ways, better words I could use, but that would be the way I would explain it. Okay, so let's just circle back here. So essentially what we're talking about is when it comes to foods that you're extracting, it's not really extracting, it's not dush if it's something that, well, is extracted at the table, because that's just part of the eating process, versus if it's done in the earlier part, the processing part of the food, so then that's dush. So it really depends on the food and essentially depends on when that would normally happen, which leaves the question open. Does it depend on what becomes normal? So I think it's pretty normal sunflower seeds, to essentially extract them, open them at the time of eating. Is that so normal about peanuts these days? How many people have a bag of peanuts in the shells and extract them before the eating process? Is that as common?
I did it today.
Okay, good. So there's my answer. My Rebbe Rav Wiederblink asked this a while ago, and we had a discussion. How common is it? Okay, the point is people do it. And once people do it, once it happens at the table, they sell it for a person to be able to do it that way. I think we can safely say it's part of the eating process still, and it would be appropriate and it would be okay for someone to do it at that table. It's not called dush anymore, right? It's not. It's part of the eating process, not part of the processing process. Eventually we'll find a better word for that. Okay, yes. All right, fantastic. I hope they were good. So when it comes to, let's circle back to a few of our questions. So, for example, peanuts and sunflower seeds. So I can understand both of those are, you extract them as part of the eating process. So it's very reasonable to say it would be okay to do that, right? That's not dush. What about garlic cloves? So I presume it is relatively normal to only take a garlic out of its, well, take the garlic clove out of its peel before using it, right? Before using it to cook or eat, not raw. There is a Yerushalmi that says that taking the peel off a garlic is dosh, and doesn't differentiate between the when one is using it. There are different ways to understand that. We could be talking about different times, I think. It could be the Yerushalmi disagrees. It could be maybe the Yerushalmi is just talking about Borer, but leaving that aside, one suggestion to say to answer the fact that Yerushalmi seems to say it's a problem, maybe we're talking about the outer shell versus the inner shells. If you have a whole garlic clove, so the nature of peeling garlic is you take a few pieces of garlic off and you take off that thinner shell, right? That thinner shell isn't really dush. You're doing it right before the eating process or the cooking process. And it's not really taking out of its whole husk. But perhaps taking garlic cloves out of that husk, I'll say, I don't know what the better way is to call it. You know, the whole garlic, maybe one could argue that would be dush, right? Because that's part of the process could be taking that off. And that doesn't happen right before you eat. That happens earlier. It's an interesting argument. The Orcho Shabbos, a modern day sefer on the laws of Shabbos, finds what we said before pretty compelling, and that even when it comes to garlic, it's okay, because even now the way you take garlic off is out of its husk that we buy at the grocery store, and usually do that right before the cooking process or the eating process anyway. So he takes that argument and applies it to garlic as well. But it's just an interesting thought process to wonder with certain products, is this something that happens as the earlier process and therefore dush, or is it something that happens right before you eat, in which case it's just the process of eating and nothing more. So that would be essentially the answer to the questions above. So we usually peel and crush garlic cloves before Shabbos. If you forgot before Shabbos, can you take them? Can you peel the garlic off? So the rules of Borer would have to apply. We have to talk about that. And obviously you can't crush garlic because you can't grind something very small. But as far as dush is concerned, I think we could safely argue this is not dush, right? So I think that would be the approach here. And as we saw, dush is up to a machlokas, but generally we assume that dush only applies to things of which grow from the ground, in which case next week, in Ritz Hashem, we're going to have to figure out how could it be that we understand milking cows is a derivation of dush, if cows, last time we checked, don't actually grow from the ground, right? So that's going to be a big, big discussion, and that's going to come out with a lot of interesting halachos, a lot of interesting historical facts about how they dealt with this issue of milking cows in Eretz Yisrael. And I think that basically sums up this topic for now. You know, so I try to think of modern day examples where a person would actually have real dush, real threshing in the kitchen. And I can't really think of examples where a person would be having, maybe if a person had corn, and they were taking off the husk, but one could also argue it's so normal to do that as part of the preparatory process in the kitchen as well.
A lot of people grow herbs in their kitchen.
Right, but again, I don't know how herbs are you extracting? I guess you could look at Rashi as you're taking it off the stem.
Yeah.
Right, but again, that is part of the cooking process. Often you have herbs on the stem. That's very normal to buy herbs on the stem and just take them off the stem. So you know, I have to give it some more thought, but most of the common cases that we have of extracting something or taking something out of its husk is really something that happens as part of the eating process at the table. One example could be pistachios, not the nuts, not the shells that we have the pistachios in, because it's normal as part of the eating process to take them out of those shells.
Mm-hmm.
But pistachios grow in a larger husk, right? There's so to say a green or larger husk that or shell that surrounds them, and within them is the pistachio shell and the pistachio nut that we purchase from the stores. So if one were to get that, so you can imagine taking off the outer shell to get to the shell that we see would be a problem on Shabbos, because that's not something normal that's done as part of the eating process. Another example that comes to mind is a coconut. Coconuts come with this large, much larger outer shell that you have to peel away to be able to get to then the larger coconut itself, or the smaller coconut, and then you have to crack that open. Many other things going on there, but you can just imagine that something that the removing of a husk that would not normally happen in your kitchen would happen as part of the processing plant or the field, so that would potentially be dust. But again, I can't remember the last time I ever saw any of these in the store, so probably not practical. So that would be round up the halachos of dush, at least the definition here. And Ritz Hashem, we'll continue with chaliva, with nursing, with milking cows and the like next week. So for now, we'll just take any questions end it off.
Looking at this last source.
Yes.
About the chila zone.
Yes.
I mean, the problem I see here is that it has nothing to do with food. Because the chila zone isn't kosher, you can't eat it anyway.
Correct.
So you're doing all sorts of things that you shouldn't be doing, whether it constitutes dash.
Right. So the question is should this constitute dash? Right. There are multiple issues going on here. The question is, what are the issues at hand? I mean, multiple malachos might be violated, but as the Gemara does over and over again, the Gemara always asks, if you do this on Shabbos, we understand it's a problem. But what's the problem? Meaning, please tell me which malachos is one in violation of. Why does that matter? Because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Hey Rabbi Amenu, it would be that you'd have to be warned for the exact malacha that you were doing. So it's important to know exactly what you are in violation of, so a person can point the finger and say, oh, you're in violation of X, Y, and Z malacha. Besides for just the fact that we should understand the basic halacha and the extensions and the ramifications. But yes. Okay, thank you very much. Emir Tzeshem, we will continue next week.
Richard S.